620 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Hunter Biden pleaded not guilty to tax evasion charges today in Delaware after his plea deal was put on hold. CBS's Skylar Henry explains.
The deal started unraveling over questions about its scope. Biden's team said it protected him against future prosecutions, an apparent misunderstanding.
The prosecution was abundantly clear at this hearing that this was not intended to be a global agreement. The defense believed it was.
The judge could make a decision when both sides come back in 2 weeks. The Federal Reserve raised interest rates another quarter percentage point.
My colleagues and I remain squarely focused on our dual mandate to promote maximum employment and stable prices for the American people. We understand the hardship that high inflation is causing, and we remain strongly committed to bringing inflation back down to our 2% goal.
That's Fed Chair Jerome Powell. It is the highest benchmark rate in 22 years. The BBC now confirms singer Sinead O'Connor has died at 56. Here's CBS's Chris Mavridis.
In 1990, her cover of Prince's Nothing Compares to You made Sinead O'Connor a household name. The video, her face against a black background, made her an icon. But she hated the stardom. She took a stand against child abuse, something she later revealed she experienced. Then there was that infamous performance on Saturday Night Live, tearing up a picture of the Pope.
Fight the real enemy.
A protest against Catholicism that backfired on her career.
Extreme heat is still baking most of the country, with more than 150 million Americans under heat alerts today. But combined with humidity,
I stay indoors. That's how I'm coping with the heat. I don't go out in the heat too much.
That's Shirley Gusko in Sunrise, Florida, where officials have said even the oceans reached hot tub temps. A former Air Force intelligence officer has testified before Congress the U.S. has been hiding UFOs for years. Retired Major David Grush.
The objects that we were seeing, they were spherical, and they were observed up to Mach 2, which is a very non-aerodynamic shape.
The Pentagon has rejected those claims. A scary morning in New York City, where a massive crane crashed, dropping 16 tons of cement onto the street below. At least 11 people were hurt, including two firefighters, but their injuries are minor. A lawyer for Michael Jackson argued today that employees of corporations owned by the pop star weren't legally obligated to protect them from children. Two men are suing, saying Jackson abused them as boys. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Wendy's is open till midnight or later, so you can give in to the craving and go night mode. Now all of your favorite menu items just got their bedtime extended. You can get what you want even later, like the Baconator with 6 strips of bacon or the perfect fries and frosty duo. If you're up later, then so are we. So go ahead and pull through the drive-thru. When the craving hits, go night mode at Wendy's. Open till midnight or later. All right, see ya later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary.
Ray Magliazzi here for eBay Motors. Okay, easy now. You're teaching your kid how to parallel park. Ouch! Turns out he likes to do it by feel. Don't worry, eBay Motors has bumpers, taillights, trunk lids, license plate holders, 122 million parts. Pull up just a little bit. And headlights. They've got lots of headlights. Get the right parts at the right prices. eBay Motors, let's ride.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Mainly clear skies tonight with lows around 64. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 94. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Chance for scattered storms. Tomorrow night, lows around 66. Mainly cloudy skies. Mid-80s Friday, upper 70s by Saturday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 86.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Not going to be able to hear.
Okay,
I need to do it on. Yes. Am I okay to go? Okay. You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show with Liza Hallenbrand. Today, we will be talking with Bryn Seaman and Patricia German from Wisconsin Aging Advocacy Network about about the room for improvements in hospital discharge process, especially when it comes to supporting the family caregiver. The Wisconsin Aging Aging Advocacy Network is a collaboration of organizations and individuals working with and for Wisconsin's older adults to shape public policy and improve the quality of life for older people. They advocate for all older adults by educating the community and policymakers on particular issues impacting older adults, mobilizing people on priority issues, and advocating for change. Thank you, Bryn, for being with me here today. Today is a big day for the Wisconsin Aging Advocacy Network. Gosh, that's a mouthful. Because you dropped a press release and a PSA regarding the Wisconsin CARE Act. Can you tell listeners, Bryn, what the Wisconsin CARE Act stands for, its purpose, and why the Wisconsin Aging Advocacy Network is advocating for it to become law?
Hi, good evening. Thank you for having me. I'd be happy to share a bit about the CARE Act. As such, it is an acronym. We like those acronyms in our social services and healthcare fields, and it stands for Caregiver, Advise, Record, and Enable Act. The idea and the three main points of the act are to offer the opportunity for a patient who's being hospitalized to identify a family caregiver in their patient record. The identification is important because then it's the advise piece and advising those family caregivers of updates and most importantly, plans for discharge of that patient and of that loved one. And the third main tenet of the CARE Act is providing the family caregiver who's been identified in the chart and a part of those discharge planning conversations with the education, instruction, and training for the care that needs to take place following discharge. Three main points really to incorporate the family caregivers as part of the care, the discharge planning.
I see. And, you know, this PSA video was made to explain the need for the CARE Act and will be released today and will be on the Empowered Caregiver Community Facebook page. So please go check it out, share it, and spread the awareness on this issue. Bryn, what is the goal behind creating the CARE Act PSA, and where can people go to share it if they're not on Facebook?
You asked me a question, too, that I realized I didn't answer, which is why is Juan advocating, the Wisconsin Aging Advocacy Network, advocating for this to become law? And that leads really well into the question you just asked of supporting successful patient outcomes. The opportunity for successful patient outcomes upon discharge are numerous, but chief among them, no readmission to the hospital. Empowering the caregiver so that they feel confident with the training that's expected. We know that about 80% of all care in the home is now being provided by family caregivers. So equipping them is something that we want to be able to do through the passage of the CARE Act. And the PSA is really that. It's asking that there be a bit of a mind shift in not thinking of contacting family caregivers as an extra step, or as one more thing to do if I'm a hospital discharged social worker, nurse, or doctor, but instead really see them as an ally. They're the person who's going to be helping this patient, hopefully not return to the hospital, and hopefully really getting quality care and having a quality experience of life after discharge. The PSA can be found hopefully in a lot of places soon with the press release, certainly on Facebook. But if you don't have access to Facebook, we also have it on our WisconsinCaregiver.org site. That's all one word, WisconsinCaregiver.org.
Wonderful. And legislators always say that hearing stories from their constituents is really what makes a difference. It puts everything into perspective for the need for change. I want to play just a few sound bites from the CARE Act PSA video that shares some of those stories. Anna, if you're ready, could you play clip one?
I had just been so astonished in the discharging planning process, how ill-equipped I felt and how out of control every situation felt. I would be handed a list.
Bryn, if the CARE Act was in place, how could you see the outcome for this being different? And I think that the end of it got cut off. But what she went on to say is when she picked up, I believe it was her father from the hospital, she was given an entire list, I think a half a dozen appointments that she needed to attend to. And she was in a executive position at work and had to travel and had lots of meetings. So it wasn't realistic for her to be just handed a list and being told where she had to be. How do you think that could be different if the CARE Act was in place?
The family caregiver actually shares us the answer. If there was a phone call made, if she could even be a part telephonically of some of those discussions, she wouldn't have to rework the entire schedule, right? So we're not now wasting hospital staff time, outpatient or specialty clinic time. We're not wasting her time as a family caregiver. And we aren't stressing out the patient by wondering if they're going to get to their medical appointments. And we certainly aren't then stressing out the family caregiver who's now trying to rearrange six different medical appointments. Involving the family caregiver in that case would have led her to be a part of all of those follow-up appointments or find somebody, maybe identify another family caregiver who could also be a part of them. And also having just logistics in place, work, life, children, schedules, rides, transportation, and just being able to pre-plan and have that confidence allows for the caregiver to not be burned out, allows for them to provide a better quality of care to the patient. And frankly, it's a win-win for everybody. The hospitals win. They don't want to see that patient again in, you know, a readmission type of way. They want to see that patient successful, as does the family, and the patient wants to be able to recover and have a good quality of life after discharge.
Well, it seems like it would totally make sense for me. And I can't even imagine having to go through and reschedule six different appointments with specialists. I do want to play another clip from the PSA. Anna, if you're ready.
My husband happened to show up at the time that they were wheeling him out to go to a facility that they hadn't told us was happening. And it's, again, not ill intent. We're an extra step. And they said, he's his own person. I said, well, how are you going to pay for that transportation? Because it was a cash transportation they had set up. He had no money. He can't manage anything like that. Where's power attorney for finance too? So they were going to send him in a transport without cash to pay the driver. We didn't know where he was going. So that was probably not a good situation. We had to follow the transport to find where he was being discharged to.
Okay, that one is hard for me to wrap my head around. That sounds just flat out crazy. Patricia, can you let listeners know how that could have went different if the CARE Act was in place?
If the Caregiver Act was in place, the family caregiver would have been included at the initial admission and been asked by the patient who that family caregiver was, and they would have been notified where the transfer was going to. Another scenario, say the patient wasn't transferred, but they were being
Patricia,
discharged.
I want to hear the
family
rest.
Caregiver.
I want to hear the rest of this, but we've come up on a break, so hold that thought.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new place.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit SkyRizzi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZZI to learn more.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I'm your host, Liza Hellenbrand, and we are talking today about the CARE Act and what we can do to get that act put into law. It is currently in law in more than 40 states. Wisconsin, unfortunately, is not one of them. So we had just listened to a story about where a caregiver actually had to follow her father in public transportation to figure out where he was going because nobody shared that information with her. I want to move on and introduce Heidi Russell, who is the director of aging at Shawano County Human Services. Welcome, Heidi. Can you tell listeners why you think the CARE Act is important and your own and how your own family's discharge experience could have gone better if the CARE Act was in place? Can you hear me, Heidi? Sounds like there's some more technical issues going on. We've been having them all day, so why stop now? That's all right. I'm just going to roll on to the next segment, and we'll come back to Heidi if she can hear us a little bit later on.
Oh, there she is.
There you are. Are you with us, Heidi?
I am. I'm very sorry. I had trouble with my phone getting to the unmuting myself.
You know what? So, that is a-okay. We have been having all sorts of troubles over here, so join the club. So what I wanted to ask you is, why do you feel like the CARE Act is important, and how could your own family's discharge experience have gone a little better if the CARE Act was in place?
So, and I am here as a former caregiver. I cared for my father very, very closely for 2 years prior to his death. And he had several hospitalizations. And one of them, he was leaving the hospital with a catheter. And the nurse had said, oh, we showed your dad. We showed him how to do everything. And I'm looking at her going, my dad has severe arthritis, where his hands from years of being a butcher were you know, really almost folded over. And I knew my dad was slightly confused, but he was very social and happy and always, I'm great. It's fine. It's wonderful. And he just wanted to go home. And fortunately, in a past career, I worked in a nursing home. So I knew how to empty a catheter and not change the catheter, but change the bags. And I knew how to do all of that. And the nurse looked at me and said, oh, we showed your dad. It's fine. You can take him home. And dad just looked at me and said, yep, let's go. And I got home and I said, okay, show me how you can do it. And he looked at me and said, I have no idea how to do this.
Well, you know, that's such an excellent point because, you know, when people are in the hospital, they're probably itching to go home. The whole experience is emotional and overwhelming and confusing. So when they're telling you that stuff at the end for the discharge process, I would guess for a lot of folks, it would kind of go in one ear and out the other. And that's why having a caregiver identified is such a crucial part for a successful discharge. And like I mentioned, over 40 states have enacted the CARE Act. And the CARE Act itself, one, asks patients if they have a family caregiver. Two, contact that person if the patient is to be discharged or transferred. And three, teach the family caregiver how to provide the care that the patient will need after discharge. And it's unfortunate that Wisconsin is not one of many states that has a CARE Act in place. And as a result, hospitals really have no obligation to identify the person that will be caring for the patient after discharge, nor are they required to make sure that that person has the capabilities and the resources to care. So next, I want to talk to Patricia German, who is a grassroots family caregiver advocate. Patricia, Bryn had shared with me earlier that you made your own acronym for CARE, and we're going to be going up against a commercial break again, so I'm going to have to watch the time, but can you let listeners know what CARE stands for to you?
Well, the actual acronym is Caregiver Advisory Board, but in my mindset, the C is consideration of after discharge care, identifying who the caregiver will be after discharge as soon as possible after admission. The A is arranging for discharge, allowing adequate time for family and friend caregivers to coordinate work and personal responsibilities. The R is for resources, accommodating very knowledge bases of caregivers, providing adequate home care after discharge. And the E is for engaging family and friends and in-hospital care techniques and allowing them to feel comfortable with the hospital discharge care.
I like that. I like how you added to that. And you had told me a story a few days ago about a dear neighbor and friend of yours, and I still cannot stop thinking about this story. I want to wait until after the commercial break because I don't want to get interrupted for this, but it's a story of where the CARE Act literally could have saved someone's life. And I just want to say that the CARE Act is not a new concept. Bryn, do you know exactly how many states have passed their version of the CARE Act and what the outcomes are that they're seeing?
So there is 42 states, according to AARP, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. So there's 8 states, one of them, including Wisconsin, that have yet to pass this vital act for hospital discharge.
How frustrating. Come on, Wisconsin. We can do better. When we come back from this short break, we're going to hear again from Patricia and how she actually lost a loved one that situation may have been prevented with the CARE Act.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
mainly clear skies, tonight with lows around 64. Northeasterly winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 94, tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Chance for scattered storms, tomorrow night, lows around 66, mainly cloudy skies. Mid-80s, Friday, upper 70s by Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 86.
Yes, severe infection. Literally, her biopsy sites got so infected that her blood pressure could not sustain life. I took action Monday to obtain wound care for my friend. She was too weak and experiencing high chronic pain with cancer to advocate for herself. Two wellness checks were performed on Monday, but no intervention. Wednesday, she was visited in an effort to set up wound care. However, the method of email allowing managed care too much for someone in her condition to perform. I thought wound care had been set up for her, but no one came Thursday. Friday morning, I must advocate to save her. She told me twice on Friday, "Patty, I need help." Pardon me, but I'm getting emotional. But could not answer. She wanted me to call 911. I took action. Called 911. She was cardiac arrested in the parking lot under the care of EMTs. They revived her, took her to the hospital. The hospital put her on life support, but her body could not obtain blood pressure, and she expired 2 hours later. If the CARES Act had been in place, a caregiver would have been identified by the medical facility, and she was not able to care for herself. They couldn't instruct her on proper care and wound care, and she would not have deceased. If her wound care had been administered initially upon her discharge under the CARE Act, a family or friend, such as myself, would have had training in wound care and deadly infection, and I could have helped her. Mm. And it's so sad.
It is. And
the
CARE
Act needs to be passed in the state of Wisconsin.
It's just so hard to hear that. And unfortunately, there was some cutout on my end. I don't know if it went through on the radio waves. I just want to recap that story in case people had trouble hearing it. And that was that Patricia had a friend and neighbor that was discharged from the hospital, sent home on her own with wounds that needed to be cared for. And I believe, didn't you say earlier that she also had a G-tube, that she was being fed through G-tube? If I remember the story correctly, and she didn't know how to do that. Nobody was contacted or identified as a caregiver. So Patricia, being her friend, went over to check on her, saw her in this dire condition, ended up calling 911 and unfortunately she passed away. So if the CARE Act was in place, and I'm getting chills just saying this, she could have identified somebody as her caregiver. It could be Patricia, if that was the person closest to her or a family member. That person would have been identified, notified that she was being discharged, and then given proper instructions to care for her after she got home. So I'm so sorry for your loss, Patricia. It's just a heart-wrenching story. And I had asked Brent earlier, and then ran up into commercial break, so I apologize. The CARE Act is in 42 or 43 states right now. Wisconsin is not one of them. So can you just let listeners know what they're seeing, that what outcomes they're seeing?
Sure. So what I can offer is that it's a mixed bag, and not because there's negative outcomes related to the states that have implemented the CARE Act. It's just difficult to decipher and pull apart what is a direct result of the CARE Act and what is also a result of several different federal policies that have been put into place recently, really focusing on patient and family-centered care. So because we have lots of really good help, including family caregivers in many of those states under federal policy, it's hard to know if that was the driving force of some of these positive outcomes, or if we could directly tie them to the CARE Act. I think in years to come, we are going to see lots of studies that really highlight that. And another thing to consider, too, is that the CARE Act doesn't look the same in every state that has it. We can very much Wisconsinize this CARE Act. What I mean by that is identify Wisconsin resources, identify Wisconsin supports so that upon discharge, the hospital staff feel confident about the resources they're providing and giving, but also the families know how to easily access those local resources. And also having some reasonable expectations. So when you look at some of the studies and surveys that have been done, it's all a process. It's not a one and done thing. It's not a matter of changing software simply to ask for a family caregiver and then putting them in the chart. There is a system of training that needs to happen. However, I was happy to see that of executives that were surveyed in, I believe, the state of Pennsylvania, most hospital executives said that this was pretty low touch. So while it's a process to implement, there was over a 92% agreement that this is something that can relatively easily be put into place with changes that aren't expensive and don't require a lot of hospital staff time. So I fear that sometimes it has a negative connotation, but in fact, not only is this possibly a really low-touch solution, but I think it also has a culture shift with how hospitals can really utilize family caregivers who are there. They want to help. They want to be a part of this solution and really give good care and see them again. It's not that extra step, but an ally in having that patient success.
Well, you know, it doesn't sound like rocket science to me, to be honest. And I love that we can create this how we want it. We can make it the Wisconsin way. I advocate every caregiver gets some cheese curds and a case of beer out the door. But hey, I'll take whatever I can get. I actually was given a bit of history on the CARE Act recently. The CARE Act was actually formally introduced as a bill in Wisconsin. So it does have some history in Wisconsin. It was introduced as a bill in the fall of 2019 by two Republican legislators with bipartisan support. After a press release introducing the bill went out, lobbyists came in with their pressure against the bill, and it unfortunately ended up not going anywhere. I am joined today by some grassroots advocates who are working very hard to revive the CARE Act in Wisconsin. And you know, the CARE Act to me sounds like it would be a good thing. But if I was working in the medical community, I might say, we already do that. We already do a good job of the discharge process, and having a mandate to take these additional steps will require additional resources, and these steps aren't feasible in our already strained system. Heidi or Bryn, would you like to rebuttal that, or what would you ladies say to overcome that objection? Heidi, you have some thoughts on it?
I think the thing that's hard is if you're not identified formally as the caregiver and you have somebody who was as social as my father and smiled big and, you know, was always in a good mood, you assume that he probably knows what he's doing. And he really didn't. He didn't understand what the steps were. He couldn't physically do it. And had I not had the jobs I've had, I would not have been able to do the things that he needed done. My sister came to relieve me the next day And she's taught second grade for 48 years. And she looked at me and said, I have to do what? And I said, well, it's easy. You just unscrew the cap and you empty it in the toilet. Then you wipe it up. And, you know, and I'm explaining this all to her. And she's just looking at me going, oh, my God, what would I do if I didn't have you?
Right.
Well, and I think you're highlighting, Heidi, why there isn't a choice in the matter. So there's going to be people that are left to do this, family members left to do this. And do we just want to see, you know, kind of toss the dice and see if they're going to have the experience Heidi had and be able to pick up that baton and run with it, if you will? Or instead, would we rather be proactive with our limited resources and really equip the family caregivers that are there, thereby not only relieving our strained hospital staff, I also have to imagine there's a huge sense of job satisfaction in knowing you've done a job well done. I don't think there's at all any malicious intent or hope by the hospital staff, you know, to just quickly get this over with. They want a good, successful outcome as well. And it would feel good to not see that patient back again for the reason that they were there for care for in the first place. Exactly. So are we going to go ahead and just kind of continue as is and kick the can down the road? Or instead, are we just going to really utilize this workforce and the patient-centered and family-centered movement to really to take those family caregivers and use them to our advantage and equip them with the training they need?
Well, and I love how you said that this really prevents strain on the system by, you're right, not having people readmitted or have, you know, either worse conditions, things become worse after they leave. Currently, the CARE Act does not have any sponsors in legislation. It is your goal to change that. And as we know, when it comes to governmental change, it is a slow-moving process. And if one side says yes, that means that the other side, for whatever reason, feels the need to automatically say no. If Wisconsinites really want to see change in the discharge process, Bryn, what do they have to do?
As with anything, I'm learning right along with our grassroots caregivers that you have to share your personal stories and you have to be persistent. Share the video so that you bring awareness to these situations. And if you have a personal experience and you now, knowing what the CARE Act, have a passion to see this become a part of Wisconsin legislation, you are always able, as a matter of fact, it's encouraged to contact your senators, contact your local legislative representatives, share your personal story. Chances are they can connect with you. With the number of aging people, with as many caregivers as we know doing that in-home care, they may well too have one of those experiences where, you know, they've followed mom and dad into the hospital or a neighbor, a friend, or a sister, a spouse, and then had to go through that discharge process as well. So we just have to advocate. We can't be afraid to be repetitive. Share the story. Take the survey. That's also a part of that press release so that we can collect information and get a good idea of people around Wisconsin who support this. And again, contact your local legislators.
You're right, and share your story, and I bet you that they can relate, because how does the saying go? I'm gonna flub it up, and I've got a lot of people that can say it in their sleep. When it comes to being a caregiver, either you are one, you're gonna be one, you've been one, or you're gonna need one. So all of these legislators, at some point in time, I think that this is something that would hit home for them. When we come back, we're gonna talk more about the Wisconsin CARE Act and improving the discharge process in hospitals.
Call your local Bug Tussle rep today to find out how you can get free internet service. For Monroe, Juneau, and Adams counties, call Josh at 608-322-2190. For Jackson County, call Rhett at 715-771-3535. For Clark, Marathon, Wood, and Portage counties, call Ashley at 920-501-8717. And for Wisher and Wapaka counties, call Kate at 920-401-5470.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
It's time to lock in your tee time at University Ridge Golf Course. Proud host site of the American Family Insurance Championship and home to the Wisconsin Badger golf teams, University Ridge is a public course that's yours to play without a costly membership. Visit UniversityRidge.com and reserve your 18-hole tee time up to 90 days in advance. Don't have time for 18 holes? Try our 9-hole putting green or hit balls on our grass tee practice range. Play where the Badgers and the pros play. University Ridge.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and today the Wisconsin Aging Advocacy Network is releasing a PSA, which can be found and shared on the Empowered Caregiver Community Facebook page, which is advocating for the CARE Act to become law in Wisconsin. The CARE Act, one, asks patients if they have a family caregiver. Two, contacts that person when the patient is to be discharged or transferred. And three, teaches the family caregiver how to provide the care the patient will need after discharge. The Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality is the lead federal agency charged with improving the safety and quality of healthcare for all Americans. They wrote an article called Readmissions and Adverse Events After Discharge, September 7th, 2019, which they recommended accurately assessing patients' abilities to care for themselves after discharge can be difficult and requires coordinated multidisciplinary effort. Failure to enlist appropriate resources to help with the transition from hospital to home or another healthcare setting may leave patients vulnerable. So the agency that is tasked for improving health and safety said that basically this is it. This needs to be addressed. We need to make sure that patients leave the hospital with their support person included in the conversation, and they know how to take care of themselves once they go on home. So they go on to say that patients and their families, and they included and their families, must understand their diagnosis, their follow-up needs, and whom to contact if questions or problems arise after discharge. This might be outside of the CARE Act a little bit, but if Heidi and Bryn could just let me know, since you guys both support the aging population in Wisconsin and are really focused on rural and underserved populations, could you tell me in a dream world scenario what assessing the patient's abilities and enlisting appropriate resources might look like? I'll have Bryn go first.
Sure. So I think, as Heidi actually alluded to, somebody can present as very capable and competent. And I think that many times we're focused on the legality. Do they have a legal decision maker? Do they have a healthcare power of attorney or a healthcare power of finance? I'm sorry, a power of finance, a power of attorney, my goodness. and because we get so focused on those legal matters, sometimes we're not seeing what's right in front of us. So being able to not only determine their social skill set, their cognitive ability, and some of that is really just learned from good conversation with the family caregiver who's surrounding them, who's probably with them when they're admitted or comes to visit them or is going to be the person taking care of them. So in an ideal world, really putting that person-centered or family-centered practice into play is how you're going to get a full picture of the resources around them. Because resources in one place for one person may look quite different than the resources for somebody else, especially as you talked about in rural or underserved populations. It may not be as resource-rich as, you know, an urbanized area. So a lot of that conversation can come with just really good conversation.
Well, and you made a great point that really goes to what Heidi was saying earlier. You know, it's the caregiver that really knows that patient, right? So when dad is being happy and jolly and smiling and ready to get the heck out of there, it can be the caregiver that just whispers and says, he doesn't know what you're saying, right? So Heidi, let me ask you, in a dream world scenario, what does assessing the patient's ability and enlisting appropriate resources look like to you?
So I can actually answer that really well. My husband had both of his knees replaced, and both knees were done at a surgical center, not the same day, 6 weeks apart. And before we left, both he and I, as his caregiver, had to sign off that the nurse had given us instructions and showed us how to get up out of bed, how to, you know, walk with his walker. The therapist came and took us and said, how many steps do you have getting up into your house? Oh, you've got three. Okay, let's go to the staircase and practice. You know, it was, they gave us handouts of, and they were just cut, printed off a computer of, this was the surgery that your husband had. This is what he has to do. These are how he has to do his pain meds. And then we both had to sign off that we understood that. And the whole process didn't take that long. You know, I was with the nurse with my dad probably just as long. You know, I think it's because the surgery center was so specialized.
That they
all those processes set up. I was at a small rural hospital, and the care there is very good. And there was no ill intent. The nurses were very kind, very helpful, really, you know, wanted him to do well. You know, they just got lucky that I happened to know what I'm doing with a catheter.
Well, sure. And if he was a happy-go-lucky guy, you know, that's probably one of few that they were looking like not to get rid of, you know, but they could keep him around for a while, right? He's pleasurable. Not everyone is. And I like that you both mentioned that. And I know that it's not the hospital's intentions to, you know, boot these guys out the door and just let them figure it out. And I'm sure that a lot of hospitals do take some steps in the discharge process. However, each hospital is different. And, you know, when you get into these smaller rural communities where there aren't as many resources, there can be problems. And if things aren't mandated, then, you know, you can be great to one patient and maybe just not so great to the next. So that's where I see the importance behind this. But, you know, the Wisconsin Aging Advocacy Network is not the only one that's advocating for change in the hospital discharge process. The RAISE Family Caregiver Advisory Council, which is a federal advisory council that was formed to address the caregiver crisis in America, has five main goals, which includes over 350 actions. And goal number two is family caregivers are recognized, engaged, and supported as key partners with providers providers of healthcare and long-term service supports. I wish I could grab back the time that I lost when we were having technical issues. There's so much more to talk about. But please check out the video, share the video, call your legislator, write your legislator, and tell your story. This is an important act that can save lives. Thank you, caregivers. I know caregiving can be hard and difficult, but I just want to say, you got this.
Thank you.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you, the big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff, to go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.